Hello. You are listening to the Grieving Parents Sharing Hope podcast. We are here to walk with parents on their unwanted journey of child loss, guiding them to a place of hope, light, and purpose, not in spite of their child's death, but as a way to honor his or her life. And now, here is your host, author, speaker, and bereaved parent, Laura Deal.
Hi, thank you for joining me today, especially during such a busy and rough time of year. Before we get into today's topic, I want to say thank you to Carol Renfro, who was also a guest on episode number 311, for sponsoring today's episode in honor of her son, Jeffrey. Carol was 16 when she had her son and named him Jeff Free, two words, Jeff-Free, and most people knew him by the name Free. He was never married and had no children. He loved to study, and religion was his favorite subject. He kept journals beginning at 8 years old that included his thoughts and feelings on his studies and also his personal goals. This continued for his entire life. He was a genius with an IQ of 168. Free was in the Navy for about a year with a general discharge. He was also an ordained minister and a college graduate with a bachelor's degree in science. He wanted to become a doctor. Free's life ended too soon at the age of 33 and is greatly missed by many. Thank you, Carol, for sponsoring today's episode in honor and memory of your son, Jeff Free. The holiday season can be brutal. It can feel almost unbearable, especially when the world around you seems to carry on with dancing and lights and laughter and celebrations. Grief can feel so heavy, isolating, even suffocating. Today, I want to share some gifts you can give yourself while grieving during the holidays. These are gentle ideas drawn from wisdom and compassion and real experience. Now, maybe you'll take one or maybe several and let them carry you day by day or even hour by hour through this holiday season. If this is your first Christmas season after losing a child, that first round, Christmas, Thanksgiving, birthdays, the turning of the year, can feel like a blur of pain. I can also remember feeling panicky, thinking about the calendar flipping to a new year because I wasn't ready to leave behind the year she died. I felt like I was leaving her behind. I wasn't ready to move on. I wanted time to stop. Most of us, those first several years, and I mean even 5 to 10 years, we just want to skip all the end of the year holidays. We want to go to sleep and wake up when it's over. Maybe we don't even want to wake up at all, right? Now, of course, that's because of our own pain. And most of us continue as well as we can for our other children, maybe our grandchildren and the family around us. And there are moments we can enjoy. But that undercurrent of pain and sadness just seems to come right back. It can also feel like salt on a wound. The emptiness and the reminders, the songs, the decorations, the traditions, all of that just feels like a slap in the face reminder, doesn't it? But grief doesn't just go away just because of the ones we love who are still here. And that's okay. What's important is that in the middle of that pain, you allow yourself permission to feel, permission to grieve, permission to remember, and permission to just be in the middle of all of this. And even more than that, permission to do what you need to do to make it through. So let's talk about some simple, tender gifts that you can give yourself this holiday season, ways you can take care of yourself in a special, needed way. The first one I want to talk about is listening to music. Now, I know that's hard for some of you. Music is a pathway to our soul. God created it that way. But grief and the enemy of our souls can try to twist music into something dark and heavy if we let it. So choose carefully. Sometimes we need energetic music to lift our spirits, something that makes our toes tap. Other times we need gentle healing, worship, or songs of hope. When the house is quiet or when the night is long, maybe you want to grab a warm beverage, settle into a comfy chair, and just let music wash over your spirit. Now, I know some of you just can't put up a tree or decorations the first few years, or maybe friends came over and did it for you. Maybe you still did it through excruciating pain for your other children. Something I like to do is late at night, be by myself with a warm drink, like I said, turn off all the lights except the tree, and then listen to Christmas music, usually the hymn-like carols that draw me into why Jesus came. You know, something like I'll Be Home for Christmas comes on, I can't turn that off fast enough. That's not what I'm talking about. That song will never be the same, will it? And I know that this doesn't fix things, but sometimes it softens it enough for us to breathe. Sometimes it gives us the good cry that we need, but maybe you've been holding on to it, or maybe it's both. Okay, the second one I want to talk about is taking care of yourself, taking care of your body, and something very simple is drinking water. It sounds small, maybe even too small, but grief steals from our bodies sometimes more than we realize. The dehydration, exhaustion, emotional numbness, if you cry a lot, you're losing a lot of water through tears too. Especially during the holidays when we might turn to soda or alcohol or skip taking care of ourselves entirely, filling up on things like cookies and eggnog. So set yourself up for gentle care. Maybe fill some water bottles first thing in the morning and keep one with you and just sip on it throughout the day. Nourish your body so that it can support your soul. Because when our body is run down, it affects our emotions, our thoughts, and even our spirits. And something as simple as drinking water will help with that. Also, just going for a walk here or there. If you can't walk very far or very long, out to the mailbox and back, to the end of the corner and back. Get moving. That's another way to be able to take care of your body. Just do a little bit of something every day. Okay, let's talk about cutting out activities that drain you. For some of you, that might be everything. I can't cut out everything, right? But not every social invitation or tradition has to be honored this year. If something feels like it's too much, it's too heavy, it's too painful, there's too much pressure, it's okay to say no. You don't owe anyone your presence, and I mean you physically going to an event, especially when you are navigating the suffocating darkness of grief. They don't have to understand either. So often we're told that we need to get out and be around other people, that it will do us good. But those are usually the people who've never lost a child. We bereavers get it. And I give you permission to say no without guilt or shame. If you're like me, I just don't have the bandwidth to be around a bunch of people, especially in a party type setting. And this time of year seems to be the worst for that. Even if the thought of going to a church service, maybe a holiday party, a community gathering, drains you instead of bringing you comfort, let yourself skip it. If you were healing from a surgery or some sort of accident and you were in a wheelchair or on crutches, people would excuse you from attending these events if you said you just weren't up to it. But the thing is, you are in an emotional wheelchair. You're walking on pain in your soul crutches. And this is recovery. This is grief. You don't have to be on for everybody else's expectations, even though they can't physically see your painful traumatic injuries. Now, another thing is to treat yourself. Literally pamper yourself. Some of you may feel like you feel so guilty. You feel like you had a part in what happened to your child. I should have done more. I should have realized. I should have, you know, if I would have done this or would not have done that or would have noticed this or would have stopped that or wouldn't have made this decision. I have a friend that says, stop shoulding on yourself. You've got to let that go. Jesus paid the price for that. He didn't just pay price for sin. He paid a price for guilt and shame, a very high price, I might add. And it's okay to pamper yourself. This might look like a massage or a pedicure. How about taking yourself to a special performance or a show? If you don't have the finances to do something like that, just give yourself permission to rest. Take a warm bath with some Epsom salts, a nice bubble bath. with lit candles and maybe some soft music or maybe some hot chocolate and curling up in a cozy blanket and reading a good book. These acts are not frivolous. They're necessary. They send messages to your brain and your body that you are worthy of care. You are worthy of rest. Your grief matters, especially if those around you don't seem to understand your need for it. And then the last thing I want to talk about here is giving yourself grace. Maybe for you, the holiday season needs to be less about doing and more about being quiet, being still, being gentle with yourself. Light that candle, pour a bath, let yourself melt into a moment of rest, because the grief, it'll still be there when you're done with this time of rest and pampering or taking care of yourself. Taking a pause from the worst of the pain to take care of yourself will help you get through the holiday season. Now, we also know that holiday traditions can be very painful, especially when they're tied to memories of the child you lost, the tree, the decorations, the family dinner, when everything around you screams celebration, the absence of your child seems to scream back even louder. So here's something you can do. Change one of your traditions. Choose something familiar and meaningful and just reimagine it. Maybe instead of a fresh Christmas tree that you have to toss when the season is over, just that whole feeling of getting rid of something like that. As weird as it may sound to other people, we get it, right? Maybe this year you buy an artificial tree that lasts beyond the season. Maybe you tweak who shops, who decorates, or who hosts. Maybe you let go of putting on a big show this year. You just can't do it, and you tell people, I can't do it this year. And instead, choose quiet or go out to eat for your Christmas dinner. Hey, did you know that Chinese restaurants are usually open on Christmas Day? They are, most of them. Or maybe you create a new tradition that honors your child. Invite your family or loved ones to come prepared with a memory to share, a story, a smile, a laugh, and the laughter helps carry the pain for a moment. Funny stories are powerful. They remind us our child really lived, and they really laughed, and they really loved, and they brought other people joy and happiness. This is about making space for what's real and letting them have a place at the table that feels so very empty. Now, I'm going to put a link in the show notes where you can go to find several more ideas for bringing your child into some of the holiday celebrations when you're gathered with your family. Another gift you can give yourself is to buy a journal or a notebook and write to your child over the holidays. Describe what you're doing, the lights, the decorations, the smells, the music. Share updates on your life. Tell them how much you miss them. Maybe even rage a little bit and maybe even cry. Tears are cleansing. Writing is a conversation with your heart and with your child. Letting yourself feel, remembering, honoring. It's a way to talk to them, and it's a way to say things that maybe you can't put into words, but you can write it from your heart. Also, consider doing one thing that you used to enjoy with your child. Maybe that's too hard to do the first year, but maybe you're 2, 3, 4 years into this and you're ready to do something like this. Baking their favorite cookie, you haven't been able to do that. The decorating, watching a favorite movie that was their favorite movie, or reading a certain book. Do it with someone who's safe, someone who lets you cry and laugh and remember together. Let the familiar smells, the touches, the sounds, they're going to bring grief, yes, but let them also bring warm memories and maybe even a flicker of comfort. But if you can't do that, that's okay, because I know at the beginning those memories bring more of a stabbing pain than they bring comfort. So if that's where you are right now, that's okay. But just know that you will get to a point where the memories start warming your heart instead of stabbing your heart. And now, after saying, like I did a few minutes ago, that it's okay to decline invitations or going to places with a lot of people that will drain you even more, I also want to say that going through grief isn't meant to be a solo journey. Even if you don't feel like being around others, especially if you don't feel like explaining how the holidays hurt and how everything you see and hear reminds you of who's not here. Pushing through the isolation matters. I spent more than 2 years avoiding groups of grieving parents. Now, I didn't know of any groups around here, but I didn't want to be around people who were a mess like me. But when I finally stepped in, I found acceptance and understanding. People who got it, I didn't have to apologize for crying or laughing. I didn't have to explain myself. It turned out to be wonderful to be around people who were a mess like me. And when grief pushes you towards, I can do this by myself, I want to encourage you to reach out, even if it's just to one person, even if it's painful. Let someone walk with you. You can still do it your own way, but let those who have been on this unwanted journey for a while give you glimmers of hope that it won't always be this way. Now, I want to touch briefly on gratitude. Now, don't turn me off here. You may have heard that gratitude means that you're over it, that being thankful means that the grief is gone, that faith, trust, healing, it means you don't hurt anymore, and that is just not true. Not for most of us, not for me. I know some people around us will say things like, there's always something to be thankful for. You can be thankful that you're alive. You can be thankful you're still breathing. But for most of us at the beginning, we don't want to be alive and we don't want to still be breathing. We want to be with our child. Our head knows we have reasons to stay, but our heart just can't believe it. Faith doesn't force us to pretend. It doesn't demand that we move on as if grief were some sort of a box to be checked off. Instead, faith and hope, grief and gratitude, they can all coexist in us at the same time. Yes, I can miss my child desperately beyond what I can put into words, but I can still notice a sunrise one morning and feel a flicker of thankfulness of that beauty. I can ache deeply and still see gentle reminders that love and grace and God's goodness have not totally abandoned me. For a while, I personally kept a notebook by my bed, and every night I would write at least 3 things I could be thankful for that day, no matter how small or insignificant it might look like to someone else. And that did help me quite a bit. Gratitude does not erase grief. It just softens it. It doesn't banish the pain. It sits with it side by side. And you may have heard me say this before, but I believe the reason pain and peace can be in us at the same time is because pain is in our soul and peace is in our spirit. Peace is one of the fruits of the spirit. So we can have both of those in us at the same time. You know, when these things are in us side by side, sometimes that just has to be enough. I want to give you a gentle reminder again that this year it's okay to do the holidays differently. Maybe this year you don't feel like pretending, smiling, decorating, cooking, or hosting. Maybe this year you just need to survive 1 hour, 1 minute, maybe 1 tear at a time, and that's okay. Maybe honoring your child looks like lighting a candle instead of decorating a tree. Maybe it's a quiet dinner. Maybe it's 1 moment of peace when the world grows still. I remember the year that Becca died. We're in Wisconsin and, of course, the snow. And I remember one night, the pain was so deep. Whew, tears coming thinking about it. It didn't matter how cold it was. I just had to get outside. I just had to get out of the house. And I took this walk and the snow was falling and it was so quiet. I could actually hear the snowflakes hitting the snow on the ground. It was so beautiful and so peaceful. So do what you need to do. Maybe it's a tear, a memory, some sort of a whisper in your heart. If that's how you feel, especially this season, please know you are not alone. Even when the loneliness presses in deep, even when the lights and the laughter around you feel hollow, there's a name, there's a promise that holds firm, and that is Emmanuel. Emmanuel, which means God with us. God is with you. So this holiday season, when grief feels heavy, when memories sting, when hope seems so far away, let yourself rest in the truth that God is with you in this. He's not distant. He's not detached, but He's near. He's walking beside you. He's carrying you. Even more, He is inside you. He's feeling your pain, and He is there to bring comfort and peace within that pain and the tears. If you can, reach out. Let someone walk with you. Let someone help share the load. And also be sure to let God walk with you. Let Him carry part of that ache with you, because Emmanuel has already come, and He's staying with you both for now and for all eternity, when you will be reunited with your child. I want to remind you that this is the last week of Advent, and I will be live on our YouTube channel at 8 p.m. Central, sharing Sunday's reading and lighting the red candle that symbolizes love. If you have the Hope for the Journey book and have been doing the daily readings and wish you could keep going, you may want to consider getting the Reflections of Hope book. This is a hardback book with daily readings for the entire year. Like I said, if you have enjoyed the readings for the month of December through Advent, you may want to continue into the year. Now, with this book, if you miss a day, you miss a week, you miss 3 weeks, it doesn't matter. You just pick up the book and you read the entry for the day that you're on, allowing it to speak a word of hope and encouragement to you. To find out more, you can head to our web store at gpshope.org/store. You'll also find my other books, as well as things like inspirational t-shirts, hoodies, sweatshirts, a blanket. These things are designed to share hope wherever you go. Now remember, for the month of December, we are including a Pareaver bracelet with every paperback book order. This doesn't include the Reflections book I just talked about, because it gets sent directly from the printer. We don't keep those in stock. But if you order any of the paperback books from our store, I will sign them and we'll send it out to you, and we will include a Pareaver bracelet. Let's go to this week's birthday segment. Jeffrey Hoke was born on December 17th and is forever 33. Adelaide Rowell was born on December 20th and is forever 19. We celebrate the day these children came into the world. We know it will always be important and always be worth celebrating. If you would like to have your child's birthday announced the week of his or her birthday, I would really love to be able to do that for you. There's no cost. All you have to do is go to gpshope.org/birthdays. There's just a little form with the information we need. Fill it out and submit it, and I will add your child to the birthday segment the week of his or her birthday. Dave will also send you an email to remind you to listen that week. I want to thank you again, Carol, for sponsoring today's episode in honor of your son, Free. If you would like to honor your own child in the same way, almost like a Christmas gift you can still give to your son or your daughter, I would be honored to do that for you. You get to choose the week based on a special date, like their birthday, and I will read the listeners what you want them to know about how special your child is. Now, sponsoring an episode is only $50. You can do that by going to gpshope.org/sponsor podcast. Now, I'll put a link to everything I've mentioned in the show notes. I want to thank you for listening today. If this podcast resonated for you, if you feel seen, heard, or even just a little less alone, I'm honored and I'm just so glad for that. And maybe if you know someone who could be helped by this, you could share it with them. May you find gentle gifts this season, small, sacred, life-giving gifts that remind you of hope, remind you of love, and remind you of the beauty and just the wonderfulness of your child. I hope you will be joining me again next week. And until then, remember to hold on. Pain eases. There is hope.